All right. Welcome, 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 everyone. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, this is Tony's Political Ramblings. And so I've been waiting a couple weeks to make this episode because it was still a developing story, and we weren't really sure what direction it was going to go for a while. And while that's still the case, this is something that is we're starting to fill in the gaps with a little bit more, and that is the Omicron variant of COVID-19. Now, this variant was initially discovered in South Africa. It does not mean that it is from South Africa. It is just the place that it was discovered. It was discovered on November 9th of 2021, and it was first reported to the WHO on November 24th, and not long after that, it was upgraded to a variant of concern that it posed a high risk to the global population. And following that, there were a lot of a lot of travel bans. A lot of them are still in effect in the United States. If you check the website, I checked the website even today, a lot of European nations, a lot of South African nations are level four, which means that it is recommended, it is advised by the State Department to not travel to those places. So these travel bans are still in effect. Because we don't really know what the deal with Omicron is, truly. But there's good news coming from it. So if we look at what we've seen so far, we found that it's very transmissible. And that's not great news, personally, in terms of, at least as far as I can see it, in terms of controlling the virus. However, what we've also found is that again, coming from initial data, we still have more research that needs to be done and more analysis of the cases and the severity of these cases. But it looks like that this Omicron variant will not be as severe as Delta. And that's from Anthony Fauci, where he said it was almost certainly not more severe than Delta. So that's promising, because the Delta variant of the COVID virus really hit the United States hard this past year, really, and it's nice to know that there is another variant of this thing coming that might not be as severe, but might also be more transmissible. And so, in that same way, if this variant were to take over and be the majority, assuming it stays not more severe than Delta, and may possibly even less, that's a promising thing. So, that said, there's still a lot of things in place. There's still a lot of things we're learning about it. For one piece of it is that you're much more likely to be reinfected with the Omicron variant as opposed to other viruses. So again, that leads into the words about vaccines, and that's what I was really waiting for this episode. And I was really keeping an eye on Pfizer, because that seems to be, as far as the U.S. is concerned, the most prominent vaccine that people are using. And a press release from Pfizer released today at 6:54 a.m., which is an odd time, I suppose, found that, data indicate that a third dose of the Pfizer vaccine increases the neutralizing antibody titers by 25-fold compared to two doses against the Omicron variant. Titers after the booster dose are comparable to titers observed after two doses against the wild-type viruses, which are associated with high levels of protection. So, in English, that means three shots work just as well as two shots did against Delta. Three shots against Omicron work just as well as two shots against Delta. So that's really good. That's promising. And that was one of the biggest question marks heading into this, was that, well, would the vaccines hold up against Omicron and other variants? Because there were significant mutations to the virus here and with Omicron. I want to say anywhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 50 mutations, when most other variants have had within 15 to 20. So this is quite a significantly different virus that we're looking at. But so far, so good. And the other piece that is promising about this is that Because then the question becomes, well, what if another vaccine were to, or what if another variant were to come around that isn't as helpful against, or the vaccines aren't as helpful against, then that comes into the mRNA technology that companies like Pfizer have worked with to create this COVID vaccine. And the beauty of that is that it's flexible enough to be tweaked in terms of, in terms of its structure so that it can take on more specific variants as time goes on. Much in the same way that we take flu shots every year that are different, that are catered to the different, different strain of it that is most prominent at any given year. And so the promising thing about Omicron here is that it looks like the three doses of vaccines seem to work. And also I've read around other sources that really just three exposures in general seems to be enough for the immune system to recognize and beat down COVID before it really becomes an issue. And so that's helpful. As far as we can tell, it's not going to be worse than Delta. Likely not going to be worse than Delta. So that's good to know. And when we bring it all in together and we look at this current situation and we see that the key, as it's always been since January of last year, is to roll up your sleeve and get a vaccine. Because get your booster at this point. Get all three. Get all three doses of the COVID vaccine. Because as time goes on, the Omicron exposes the very delicate situation that we find ourselves in, that really this virus only needs to mutate a certain number of times before we don't have a vaccine that's ready to knock it out. Pfizer was talking about before that, if, for example, this thing were to mutate past the point of it being past the point of the vaccine being able to stop it, well, it would take them about 100 days to cook up a new one. That's a long time. And especially with something as transmissible as Omicron, that's really not a good thing. And so, that's the first lesson that it teaches. It teaches all of us to go up and get a vaccine, get their vaccine shots, because we need to keep this thing from mutating at a rate as it is. The second lesson, and this is a slightly more optimistic one, is that if you look at how viruses mutate over time anyway, generally speaking, a virus wants to be less severe and more transmissible. So that way the virus doesn't kill you, so it just passes it along to other people. So you pass it along to other people. That's the ultimate aim of a virus, because if you die, that means the virus dies too. So the ideal scenario, if you're a virus in this scenario, you would want to mutate to a point where you're not killing your host, because if the host dies, then you die too. So, there's no confirmation that Omicron is the variant of this virus that's going to push us in that direction. There's still a lot of time between, between now and where this is an endemic virus with us, where it's something that's controllable and manageable, but it could be a sign that we're starting to move in that direction. That generally, and again, we don't know this for certain, but generally, the COVID-19 virus could continue to mutate into less severe strains of the virus as time goes on, so that it gets to a point where it is more manageable and it is more controllable. And that's really a promising development. This could be a sign. It could also not be. This could mutate into something else that's more dangerous and more transmissible and really horrible. And that's not good either. We don't want that. However, it could be a sign that we're moving in that direction where the cases are less severe and they're not as impactful. We're not seeing as many hospitalizations and we're not seeing as many deaths. And we're seeing that already with Omicron. And I think this also is a good point in the situation as we see it with COVID-19 to shift in the way that we're measuring the severity of COVID-19. Because as cases like Omicron, like reinfections from Omicron, are going to be very common, the case numbers are going to look bad. But it depends on how severe the cases are. That's going to be the real measure of how much the virus is affecting everyone. And so I've heard a lot about this, and I tend to agree with this, that we should, I propose that in addition to measuring the number of cases, and like using that as the primary indicator, I believe that the primary indicator should be hospitalizations. That's severe cases of the virus, because people are likely going to pass this thing around, you know, for decades at this point. So probably most everybody's going to be exposed to it at some point. It's just a matter of how severe is the case. And so if people are vaccinated, more often than not, it's not severe. But if they are not, then it likely is severe. So that tracks how severe the case is. And that's something I think is something that we should shift towards in terms of tracking this virus. Obviously, you have to track the number of total cases, but I feel that hospitalizations and deaths should be the primary ways of tracking this, simply because that's going to tell us more now than just strictly the number of cases. So at the end of the day, we have a new variant on the block, Omicron. It's working its way around the world. It's likely been circulating for a while before November 9th. But it teaches us, as I said, two very valuable lessons. Number one is that we all need to do our part and get vaccinated so that this virus doesn't mutate into something that's far worse. And possibly number two, the lesson that it might not mutate into something worse, and the cases could continue to get milder and less severe as time goes on. And possibly this may signal a shift in how the virus is moving about the planet.